Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon. This is a Bethany podcast where we choose to dig deeper into Sunday messages for the purpose of just wrestling through those hard topics and digging deeper. Today, I am joined by Glenna Leonardson. I am thrilled that you are here. For years, I have wanted to be your friend. I have watched you from afar and so thankful that I've been able to work with you and get to know you, so this is fun.
That's great.
And I'm also joined with Wade Moses, dear friend of ours. My children call them aunts and uncles, so brothers and sisters in Christ, so super fun to be doing this with two dear friends on either side of me. And I'm Tammy DeLau. We are studying the book of John for several weeks, and Wade, you are bringing us in with week 3, chapter 2. I mean, I know we've seen how God revealed Jesus. We've seen how others reveal Jesus. And this week you are going to show us how Jesus reveals himself. So that's kind of exciting. So why don't you give us a little flyover and Glenna and I will join you.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, we're going to talk about the whole chapter, chapter 2. Two main events. Major events take place. The first is the wedding at Cana. Mm-hmm. And if anybody knows a story, you know, if they know one story from the mm-hmm. Gospels, this tends to be it. Mm-hmm. This is a popular story of water turning to wine, that Jesus mm-hmm. turned the water to wine. And John calls it his first sign. And so they're in this little tiny village of Cana, which doesn't show up in the other Gospels. Mm-hmm. This is, John spotlights this. And so Jesus performs this first sign. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of the chapter, he goes up to Jerusalem during the Passover and clears the temple. Mm-hmm. So goes into the temple and clears the temple mm-hmm. and turns over the tables of the money changers and mm-hmm. and scatters the animals and mm-hmm. stuff. So that's another one that people point to and say, oh, look at the anger of Jesus and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. two great stories to talk about in chapter 2.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was just thinking, and I'm curious, do any of you or either of you have an interesting wedding story? When I think of running out of wine, bless Andy's and I, we've been to too many weddings where they have the buffet line and we sit at the wrong table and we go up and there's not enough food. So I can only imagine what it was like to run out of wine. Do you have a wedding story like that mm-hmm. when you think of...
But it certainly speaks to the mm-hmm. embarrassment of it,
right. Yes.
Which they would have been embarrassed at the time. So. The wine running out. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's mm-hmm. a celebration. It's mm-hmm. a feast, and mm-hmm. The wine was special. Mm-hmm.
And one thing I looked at was they said this was a week long feast. Mm-hmm. So, So there had to be a lot of provision mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. that I assume was provided by the host mm-hmm. for people for a whole week. Right. So. Then when you know that, when I saw that, it was like, oh, well, no wonder they ran out of something, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. that's, even if it was a small crowd, that's mm-hmm. a lot of people to feed for a whole week long. I mean, I'm assuming they feasted, you know, most of the day, or it was a celebration all day long for a whole week. So,
mm-hmm.
so, or that would have been the norm for that kind of, mm-hmm. For that kind of wedding at that time. So.
That's right.
So yeah, very, very embarrassing for the family for that to have happened.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know I was taken back just in the different translations, and I know Wade, you're going to speak to it. But oftentimes, when we don't understand culture, if you were to look at me and go, "Woman," I would have a reaction that isn't negative. Mm-hmm. But speak to that a little bit, just.
Yeah. So I mean, it's really interesting. That nobody's name is mentioned here mm-hmm. in the wedding, not even the bride, not the groom, mm-hmm. not even Jesus's mother.
Yeah.
Her name is not mentioned. And so so he calls her dear woman, or in some translations, just woman, mm-hmm. like you said. But it's still a term of endearment. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, if I said, mm-hmm. hey, woman, that's culturally, sounds disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We cannot see this that way. Mm-hmm. And we also see later in John, when Jesus is dying on the cross, looking down at his mother mm-hmm. and says, dear woman, he uses the same words mm-hmm. that he used in chapter 2, dear woman, behold your son. Mm-hmm. And then in the next breath, looking at John, would you take care mm-hmm. of my mother? Mm-hmm. So it's not that he didn't respect her. It's not that he didn't love her. It's just it would have been culturally okay to say, dear woman or woman. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, no, again, no other name is mentioned here mm-hmm. other than Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right. So who's in the spotlight?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. maybe that's the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's John mm-hmm. just really spotlighting Jesus in this first sign, miraculous sign. Mm-hmm.
I also think it's interesting when you think about Jesus being invited to a wedding, that it also speaks of his human relationships mm-hmm. that were not, it seems like we see a lot of Jesus kind of being in charge, teaching, mm-hmm. rebuking, you know, having these debates with the religious leaders. And this to me just shows you that side of, hey, he was somebody's friend, mm-hmm. you know, or he was somehow, the, you know, these were, maybe these were people he grew up with mm-hmm. or,
relatives,
you know, somehow, yeah, yeah, a relative or something, mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. that they would invite him because he had that kind of relationship with him, mm-hmm. you know, come have this celebration with us. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And which, I mean, brings up a good point too. Here he's interacting with, we're guessing it's a family member. We don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. We can speculate. But here he is, he's about to reveal himself mm-hmm. to this crowd.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. In a natural, just in a common mm-hmm. setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
right?
Good.
With common people. Mm-hmm. Aren't we called to do the same?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
That's really yep.
It's following his example. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so, yeah, he wasn't some weirdo. He was hanging out with those mm-hmm. he loved. And
yep.
And then, by the way, hey, here's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And
Right.
Reveal.
And I don't know how much time you're going to get to spend on the symbolism. I geek out with that kind of stuff. Mm. And so for sure, just thinking about those pictures and how they were used for ceremonial being cleansed and how Jesus did his miracle and how he cleanses us. So I thought that was super, super cool. So are there any of those symbols that you didn't get to touch on Sunday that you would love to go a little bit deeper here or that you won't get to touch on Sunday?
Yeah, there's, even this morning, waking mm-hmm. up, just lying in bed early this mm-hmm. morning and just coming up with, there's so much symbolism mm-hmm. that John, the Holy Spirit, puts into this that mm-hmm. we can really geek out on. Mm-hmm. We don't have time for. And one of the ones that hit me this morning was, again, water turning to wine. And wine represents a harvest, mm-hmm. a bountiful abundance, mm-hmm. New life. And is there a harvest about to happen, mm-hmm. all right, on a personal level? There are so many. We're going to talk about, you know, we talked about the stone jars. We talked about the water, the wine. Mm-hmm. But
the three days.
The what?
Wasn't it 3 days later that this happened? Doesn't Scripture
right.
say?
Mm-hmm.
And the 3 days that Jesus was in, you know, was with his resurrection.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
That was really cool. Mm-hmm. Even the fact that one thing I looked at said that wine also represented joy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea that here had been the nation for all these years mm-hmm. looking for the Messiah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had to be pretty, in that area of their lives, pretty joyless.
Right, circumstantially right. depressed.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. And bringing, you know, mm-hmm. that, I thought that was kind of an interesting mm-hmm. piece of symbolism, too, just in the wine itself.
And do you find yourself, because we are in Exodus, so we are digging deep into Exodus, just all of the water things. We've got, you know, bitter water being made not bitter. We've got thirsty people receiving water, and now we have Jesus using water to perform a miracle.
That's right.
I love when you see Scripture, you mm-hmm. know, repeating itself that way. So
that's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. We talked, both of you are on the preaching team, the team that meets to talk about the preaching and the services and all. And we were talking the other day, and I think, Glenna, you were saying it, just how the beauty of things intertwining, mm-hmm. certainly Old Testament and New Testament, mm-hmm. Things coming to completion, but the symbolism, how things relate in the old and the new, mm-hmm. Certainly here, we might see at a macro level, the old covenant and the new covenant, mm-hmm. you know, the water wasn't enough. Now we have the wine, mm-hmm. right? And then looking forward to the end of John, the wine representing the blood of Christ, mm-hmm. right? There's so many things that we can, they just tie together.
Mm-hmm.
We can certainly geek out. And I'm like you, I could sit all here.
Day.
We could, yeah, all day. But it is, but at the same time, and there are plenty of good symbols here and parallels, and they're not wrong. Mm-hmm. But clearly there's a simple message here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That Jesus is revealing himself mm-hmm. through this miracle, this mm-hmm. miraculous sign. Mm-hmm.
And so, you really saw one way he was revealing himself specifically. So why don't you share with that, and then maybe we can see if Jesus is revealed, we see something different. But
right.
How do you see Jesus really revealed?
So I kind of lean, I lean towards the creation side. Mm-hmm. So what I see in John 1, which David preached on the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. John 1, 1 through 3 talks about Jesus being the Word. He was in the beginning. Mm-hmm. He was with God and he was God. And then verse 3, that all things were created by him, mm-hmm. okay, through him. So he is the creator, creator God mm-hmm. in John 1. Mm-hmm. In the second half, we see John the Baptist saying, hey, there's the Lamb of God, mm-hmm. all right? Chapter 2 seems to be Jesus repeating those things or proving those things mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah.
So
good.
I see the creation in the first mm-hmm. sign. I see other things too, but mm-hmm. it really seems to point to the creation account.
Okay.
There's 6 water jars.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
6 days of creation. It involved water, like mm-hmm. you said. We mm-hmm. see the Spirit hovering over the waters at mm-hmm. creation. We see God spoke in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Here, Jesus just spoke to the servants, hey, fill the jars, and then draw some out.
Mm-hmm.
We see there's a wedding here. We're at a wedding, but there's also the wedding back in the garden, back mm-hmm. at the time of creation. Mm-hmm. So several things here mm-hmm. that we see tie in. But this sign, and we're going to look over the course of John, we're going to look at 6, 7, 8, maybe even 9 signs. People count them differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you know, the miraculous catch of fish at the end, well, some people don't count that as okay. one of the signs, all right? Or even the second half.
I'm not sure how they don't count it.
Well, right. the sign in the second half of chapter 2 here, Jesus mm-hmm. says that I will destroy this temple and I will mm-hmm. Raise it in 3 days. Well, there's your sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the greatest sign,
the ultimate sign.
The ultimate sign.
Mm-hmm.
But many don't count that because he didn't perform it right there.
Okay.
Okay. So the numbers, mm-hmm. Are maybe irrelevant, but mm-hmm. we see it as a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see the first sign as him reinforcing, I am Creator God.
Mm.
I can take water and make it into something else.
Okay.
I can create something.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, is there a lot of symbolism beyond that?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think that's. For who else can do that? Who else can take water and create wine,
mm-hmm.
right? Who else can, it's not ex nihilo, you know, out of
nothing.
Right? Mm-hmm. Where we talk about God can create out of nothing, but mm-hmm. here Jesus performs this miraculous sign. The sign points to, it validates him,
mm-hmm.
and it points to his creative ability.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Yeah. And I think so often when we're studying scripture, what we may see, what may become neon to us is what we need to see. I mean, we will never understand fully. So for me, like I love it and was having so much fun seeing the creation in 6 days and even the imperfect number at that point mm-hmm. and all of that. But I see, and I think it's because we're doing Exodus, Glenna, just a God of provision and that he cares to provide for us even mm-hmm. when we don't know what we need. And mm-hmm. so I really see a God of provision as I'm looking at it. Was there something more that you saw or did we steal your thunder with creation and provision?
No, I mean, I think those are the big ones, but I think again, mm-hmm. I think that for me, and you guys can tell me if I'm totally crazy, but I think it's hard to imagine he's God, but he was a person. Mm-hmm. He was a human. Mm-hmm. And to me, you see kind of his human side. Jesus mm-hmm. at a party,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that human just every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, although it's not, you know, I think as prominent as what the things you guys talked about, I think just to see he was just a guy in some ways, you know? Mm-hmm. He was that that, you know,
his friend,
really God, but really man, okay. You know, truly mm-hmm. both. Mm-hmm. And that his God side didn't overshadow him and make him this weird, you
entity.
Know, antisocial, this weirdo that nobody wanted to hang around or mm-hmm. because he was, you know, or, you know, you could put him in all these strange categories that would mm-hmm. kind of make him like not the other guys at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it just says he was mm-hmm. also a man.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. That's cool. Have either of you watched the series The Chosen? Have you? I think I've really appreciated that just because they do show Jesus, like relationship and really, yeah, that's
they
it.
Really do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this says that, it says at the end of this story that it revealed his glory, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? So to me, you see that balance where, mm. you know, he was the man who was there celebrating with the crowd mm-hmm. and yet he revealed who he really was, which right. was God.
So he may have been there helping move a table for people
yeah,
to sit on.
Yeah.
It all, and he, yeah,
right,
that's good.
Right.
That's good.
Or even, you know, maybe he was, I just, you know, you can kind of let your imagination go crazy, but yeah, maybe he was one of the, like you said, one of the family that was mm-hmm. helping make sure that mm-hmm. everything was going smoothly for part of the time or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Mm,
so, that's really, yep. really good.
Yeah.
So we probably should jump on and talk a little bit about our next sign or what Jesus did next.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I went to Jerusalem, and it was during the time of the Passover. He goes to the temple and right away entering the temple, sees the temple courts mm-hmm. With the money exchangers and the animals being sold. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about it in the sermon that, you know, we've probably heard different things over the years. Mm-hmm. What was wrong there?
Mm-hmm.
Were they?
When people justify anger, saying, "Well, Jesus was angry, and
right.
so I can be angry too." You know, so
right.
does that make? I mean,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, was it because they were selling animals at too high of a price, mm-hmm. or that it was distracting, or that? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's even speculation, at least, that is it Annas, the high priest, was profiting from such things.
Oh,
and
sure.
and mm-hmm. so, yes, several these could have been, mm-hmm. but definitely it seems like if we tie in, and which we do in the sermon, tying in the Old Testament Passover mm-hmm. with the new, these temple courts were a place of worship and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And they've made it a market.
Mm-hmm.
And so we allow, as people, we allow things to get in the way mm-hmm. of worship. And so it very quickly, I think we've got to personalize and say, if we are God's temple, just like Jesus referred to himself mm-hmm. as the temple, if we are God's temple, if the dwelling place is meant to be here, mm-hmm. what is in the way of mm-hmm. worship
good application.
For him, right?
Yeah, very
mm-hmm.
good. Yep.
And
so I know we often will say grow group leaders. So I'll be David. Grow group leaders. This would be a great question to ask.
Yes.
What gets mm-hmm. in the way of worship?
Mm-hmm.
So let's do that here. I'll start to give you guys time to think. I think for me, what gets in the way is just busyness. Mm-hmm. Andy and I, we chose to have 7 children, and that is a lot. And there's in-laws and there's grandbabies, and so just. When we're done today, I'm going to have some grandchildren that need to be loved on. And so busyness gets in the way for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just
very much
and
so.
Good things, relationships with people that matter. But for mm-hmm. me, busyness. How
yep.
about you, Glenna? What would you say gets in the way of your worship?
Probably distractions, like you mm-hmm. said, but also a feeling of inadequacy.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not adequate to worship, but that I'm probably doing things that, or I know that I'm doing things that are wrong. I know that there's sin in my life. I know that there's attitudes that aren't right, and so that can block. You know, that's mm-hmm. that thing that kind of blocks mm-hmm. that worship, mm-hmm. true worship to God, truly coming to God. Totally open mm-hmm. Is that, you know, those little lies that run through your, some of them are lies and some of them are true, you know, mm-hmm. but some of them are just little lies that run through your head mm-hmm. that make it you know, very difficult to truly have everything cleaned out like it should be.
Okay, yeah. That's good. How about you, Wade? What would you say?
Well, I want the Lord knows this to be true because I've prayed about it so many times, but it's the busyness mm-hmm. is often my number one mm-hmm. weakness, saying yes to too many things or mm-hmm. Just I love working. I love mm-hmm. Doing lots of things. I like variety. Mm-hmm. And so that is probably one of my biggest mm-hmm. Things that gets in the way of worship, but mm-hmm. My own selfishness like thinking about the money exchangers and having this market there, was it a problem of money in the temple, you mm-hmm. know, just the profiteering in the temple? Nothing wrong with selling animals to help people as they pilgrimaged to the temple, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't have to carry the animals with them. Mm-hmm. So it definitely helped, and we don't see that that's wrong per se. But money can get in the way of worship for me. And mm-hmm. I mean, the last couple of years with like the Robinhood app, you know, and just watching some investments and go, oh, where's it today? You know, mm-hmm. it's a form of entertainment in a mm-hmm. sense, mm-hmm. especially with sports in the last, you know, going
so
back.
So that my children talk about, is it crypto? Is that the same
crypto.
Kind of thing? Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. So,
but it's just fun to watch. Yeah, so it's mm-hmm. new markets kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and I enjoy that stuff. But I have, but the Lord knows this is true in my life too. That I've had to pray and say, "Okay, Lord, turn my eyes from the mm-hmm. the worthless things, the things that get in the way." Mm-hmm. And so I have to watch that. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of things that get in the way, mm-hmm. Busyness, mm-hmm. money stuff, all kinds mm-hmm. of things. Yeah.
Well, there's two things that I think would be great to talk about. And Glenna, you and I can really geek out on this. But just, they were selling animals. It was Passover. So to speak of Passover and the mm-hmm. Passover lamb. And then, Wade, I have been your friend long enough that I know we are saved by faith, but always you equate it with obedience mm-hmm. and the importance of that. So why don't you speak to just the Passover and the Passover lamb? Because you and I, we're really doing this right now.
Yeah, so. the mm-hmm. The fact that this was Passover and they celebrated the fact that they, back in Egypt when they were slaves, God said, you know, take this lamb, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost so that the angel of death will pass over you. And the fact that the blood of the lamb is what saved them mm-hmm. and that Jesus is equated with that lamb. You know, it back last, was it in last week where we yeah. talked about mm-hmm. John the Baptist saying, you know, the Lamb of God mm-hmm. when he sees Jesus, mm-hmm. That he equated that. And I think, if these people truly were looking for the Messiah to come, which we assume they were, mm-hmm. that had to just ring bells in their brain mm-hmm. like crazy, because mm-hmm. every year they celebrated this, mm-hmm. that there was a lamb that mm-hmm. saved them, that they were there. You know, I'm here because my ancestors, mm-hmm. you know, believed and mm-hmm. did this. And so I think that it had to have been very meaningful that now Jesus was there and John the Baptist had just said, he's the one, mm-hmm. you know, he's that one.
That's good. That's good. And they would have all, that would have just been part of their tradition and mm-hmm. understanding that.
Right.
Okay, Wade, I want you to go with the obedience thing because I know that's a huge part for you.
Yeah. And so we, you know, like in the sermon, we tied that in talking about, well, so, thinking back to Exodus, God told the Hebrew nation to go take a one-year-old male lamb mm-hmm. and slaughter it. You can eat the meat, but even then, but don't boil it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cook it over a fire
mm-hmm.
and
eat all of it.
Don't mm-hmm. leave any behind, right? Mm-hmm. And so there were rules mm-hmm. And take the blood, some of the blood, and put it over the doorpost. Mm-hmm. Well, they could have believed, and they must have believed that, okay, that the Lord's going to come and kill the firstborn. Mm-hmm. And so by putting the blood over the door, we believe he's going to pass over us, right, mm-hmm. as he said he would. Mm-hmm. So to do that, they had to have faith first that that would happen, but then they had to do the actions.
Right.
right? Mm-hmm. And so the actions they've got to follow, mm-hmm. and it shows the belief. Mm-hmm. And it's the same for us today. We believe, looking back at the cross, that Jesus' blood is what saves us, mm-hmm. but we still have to follow. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a great. Mm-hmm. If they could have, the Hebrews at the time in Egypt could have said, oh yeah, I like that idea. Okay, blood. And
we're going to eat our meat. We're going to have a party.
Yeah, we eat some meat. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't do it, if they didn't mm-hmm. put the blood over,
they wouldn't have been saved.
Then they wouldn't have been saved. Mm-hmm. So it's not just okay to say, oh yeah, I believe if I did that, it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. No, they had to do it. Right. And mm-hmm. so it starts with the faith, the actions follow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. No, I think that's really good.
Yeah.
That's super, super
very
good. So I know this is, touch my mic. So that's going to be a loud noise. I know this will be Communion Sunday for us. And so I know we chose as ladies to take communion together after we celebrated or studied the Passover. So let's just speak to communion then too, as hopefully this Sunday it will be a little more special as you're going to walk us through a little bit of the Passover lamb and what that means.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Certainly, kind of like we were talking before in the first sign here at the wedding at Cana, water being turned into wine. Mm-hmm. It could represent the new wine and mm-hmm. The new wineskins, the Holy Spirit, and the new, mm-hmm. But also the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so certainly in the upper room, the night that Jesus is arrested, he says, do this in remembrance of me. And it's mm-hmm. the cup of wine. Drink mm-hmm. this. And what were they doing at the Passover over and over? They were every year. Back in the time of Egypt, mm-hmm. God told Moses and the people to do this celebrate this every mm-hmm. year, this Passover, mm-hmm. right? Celebrate what the blood did for you, mm-hmm. right? So, and then we talked about Jeremiah 31, mm-hmm. the old covenant. So the coming out of Egypt, the deliverance that God mm-hmm. provided there. That's the old covenant, and mm-hmm. so that the people may come and worship me, so that they may to pull them out of slavery and mm-hmm. bondage, right? Mm-hmm. That they would be my chosen people. That, right? Well, now there's a new covenant because we failed at the old covenant, mm-hmm. and we couldn't measure up to the law, mm-hmm. and it showed us our sin. But we needed a new way. Mm-hmm. And God knew this. It's been part of his plan all along, right? Mm-hmm. So again, we think in communion, it's the time of, or it's the bread, it's the representing the body of Christ, the mm-hmm. The wine representing the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's the last Passover, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He is the sacrificial lamb, mm-hmm. like you were saying, Glenna. Mm-hmm. He is now our high priest. We don't need another sacrifice. Mm-hmm. He's the perfect sacrifice.
Right.
Right. Right. So there's a lot to tie. There's a lot to tie in. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I know sometimes I'm envious of some other faith traditions where they make that first communion a big deal, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes we lose the preciousness of what we are doing when we choose to take communion. So mm-hmm. I love when, as we're studying the Old Testament and we're seeing the Passover and what that really was, and that when we choose to take communion, we are remembering that Jesus saved us that way. So the connection there. So, well, I am thinking we are getting close to our time, guys. It's been super fun visiting with both of you. I could do it for forever. So thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.